Welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectual.
You've just got a smile and hang out with intelligent people.
Hey everybody, welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals number 5.
That's uno, no, do.
Whoa. Once again, Adam, we show off how much we know about foreign language and foreign culture.
French.
As much French as we have, right?
Yes.
No doubt. You'd think we would know something by now. Well, we're bringing you another podcast today. We have a couple segments for you. Thought du jour. We're going to talk about pharmaceuticals. If we believe that the benefits are worth the cost. Give us a teaser on that, Adam. What do you think?
Oh, sorry. I was taking a pill. It's going to be great. That's a teaser, right?
Sure. Why not?
It's gonna blow your mind. You're going to listen to it and, I mean...
It'll be the only drug you need.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah. I thought about that all week.
That's just it. Don't take Advil. Just listen to Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals.
Hey, man. Maybe that's how we're going to strike it big, you know?
Yeah.
Alternate forms of medication.
It numbs your brain.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Placebo or not, it works. Our next segment will be Near the Fringe, and we're going to be talking about whether schools, middle school, high school, college, should have sports. And Adam's got an interesting case. I know you've been doing some research on that, so that will engender some good discussion. And then finally, we're going to bring you a What's News segment with some random news articles that, more than being, you know, politically important, we just think are interesting or fun to
talk
about.
Yes, I think they're very interesting. Do you like my t-shirt?
Oh, yeah. By the way, our first round of Self-Proclaimed Intellectual t-shirts are in. Adam has painstakingly made them, and we're going to be delivering them to our loyal fans that emailed us in.
I felt awkward wearing a shirt with my own face on it for a couple seconds, and then I just loved it.
And then it was just awesome after
yeah,
that.
I was perfectly okay with it.
Adam, tell us what you told your wife.
Which thing would you like me to talk about?
About the shirt, Adam.
Yeah, I don't know if that's appropriate.
All right.
But I did mention to Travis that I'd asked him if he had ever wondered if his face would be on my pectoral region.
I didn't see that coming, but you know what? I couldn't be happier that
it's a great place for your
prime
face.
Prime real estate. Well,
awkward.
Let's get started.
Un petit ghetto, une station de métro, entouré de bistrots. Pigalle, grand magasin, atelier de rapin, restaurant pour rupin.
Thought du jour.
Là, c'est le chanteur des carrefours qui fredonne le succès.
All right, first segment, thought du jour, is on pharmaceuticals, and Travis might have misled you guys a little bit. You know, he made it sound like I found this interesting because of the topic. Really, just the word pharmaceuticals is just a smart-sounding word.
Right?
And so
throw
I
that
just,
in there and you're immediately an
and
expert.
So I just decided that should be a good topic because it just sounds like a good topic.
Hey, perfect. That's why we're self-proclaimed intellectuals. That's why nobody else is saying it.
Yeah, exactly. Buy the shirt. So we're probably...
Subliminal messaging.
Let's just say the word pharmaceutical just for the next 10 minutes, just in different tones. And...
Beat it to death. and then we'll start to, you know, it'll start to sound funny to us.
Exactly.
There's a term for that.
And then we'll start questioning whether or not it's the real word.
Right.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time during spelling and things. You spell something enough, and you look at it in written form, you just completely lose belief that you're spelling it right.
Yeah, exactly. And you question your whole existence.
That was a really early on rabbit trail that
man, we're off topic already.
maybe we should just stop there.
So I said that the benefits are worth the cost, or are the benefits worth the cost? When you say benefits and you say costs, define those for us. What are we weighing against what?
I would imagine that our views of the benefits are the very simple, obvious benefit of feeling better.
Okay.
Healthiness or
in some cases actually
term.
Curing something, right?
And that's one of the points too, is what a lot of people brought up, are pharmaceuticals actually cure anything, or are they just always covering up the pain and covering up the symptoms of and not solving the problem?
I see.
But that kind of gets into the rest of the conversation. The benefit, so that's a benefit, feeling better. The side effects, what I kind of want to go over are the obvious side effects. Like you take something to help your headache and you grow a tail. So you got your physical.
That's how it feels, yeah.
Yes, you got your physical side effects. And obviously you've all heard the advertisements where may cause.
Take it, cold medicine.
Diarrhea,
and
yeah. Eyeball enlargement, so on and so on. You know, it could be all sorts of things. But I also want to talk about the I don't know what you want to call it, corporation side effect of how much power the pharmaceutical companies have, and also side effects of what it's causing us as a culture. One term that I learned through this study is called a lifestyle drug, which has become a big thing. So we'll kind of get into that, too.
And when you say a lifestyle drug, to be clear, we're not talking about something that's like a psychotropic. We're talking about something that's over-the-counter, FDA-approved.
More or less over-the-counter. I don't know what all over-the-counter are. But their definition of a lifestyle drug was it does not lengthen or save a life. You want me to give you an obvious one? It's okay, the billboard that we see in Wichita right now everywhere. Erection supplement.
Yeah, what the heck, man? I don't want to say the website because I don't want to like promote it. But yeah, all of a sudden these are just there.
They're everywhere. And they considered that a lifestyle drug. That's not saving your life. That's not lengthening your life.
It's lengthening. I'm glad we both went there.
It's making your lifestyle.
So that could change. That could apply to Advil, something that's commonly accepted, or it could apply to marijuana. If I'm getting that definition correct, it's not lengthening or.
I guess it depends because a lot of people are using marijuana as a pain relief, which is what. Yeah, I guess it would be. That's an interesting thing. Is Advil's not lengthening your life? It's just saving you pain.
Okay.
Like I said, I didn't read too much about that. They focused on things like that. One they mentioned was a pill that apparently decreases female facial hair. So it's not really, I don't know if it's saving a life or not, but it might make your life better. Anyways, so let's just get into the side effects of. The physical side effects of drugs. And like we said, I don't know if we necessarily need too much talk on this, but you're risking your health. You're risking getting a little bit better by getting a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
I found this number on a lot of websites, and I guess it's possible that they're all referring back to one website, but I found deaths in America because of medication are over 100,000 a year, which is... I don't know if that's a year or if that's more, but it's high enough that it is one of the biggest killers. And that does not include overdosing.
Okay.
That does not include a physician giving you the wrong medication. That's just straightforward side effects and death from it.
Okay.
It's very high.
Okay.
So is that risk worth the small amount that we get? And I guess it would take more diving into how much these medications really help us. You take medication for cancer and it does, and it costs you $100,000 or more. And it gives you a couple months, and that's kind of a financial side effect. Is that worth it?
This is really interesting. And I hadn't even thought of this in preparing for the topic, but I have a friend who's a nurse and she posted a really interesting article on her Facebook page. It was closely related to this and it was called How Doctors Die. So what do you think doctors do when they find out that they're terminally ill, they are given a life, 6 months to live, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they take the medications that they prescribe and give, or do you think that they pass them up?
I'm going to assume, since this was an interesting article and on Facebook, they're going to say, no, they do not take what they prescribe.
Yeah, a whole lot of doctors, they see the side effects that it has on people. They see... they see the quality of life that being hooked up to tubes or being constantly taking drugs has on people.
Yeah.
And so doctors, the people that are prescribing these things in large quantities, I don't have statistics, but a large number of doctors will just spend their last 6 months with their family, enjoying themselves, relaxing in the comfort of their home. And I think that's kind of telling.
Yes.
The people that know most about it are the people that are not using it.
Well, and that gets on a slippery slope, and I don't want to go there. I have I've had the same family physician since I was a little kid, and I have the utmost respect for him, and I would completely listen to any opinion he had if I was having an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But that does get kind of into the slope of trusting doctors because of the pharmaceutical companies, and I guess we're going to kind of keep going back. I mean, these are all, in my mind, side effects. One of the side effects of the pharmaceutical world is kind of the culture it's developed in these pharmaceutical giants that are kind of controlling our medical field, I guess. I found one thing that said and this was just a survey, and I understand that, but 9 out of 10 doctors had said they had recently taken something from a pharmaceutical company, received a gift, accepted a gift, accepted money, or whatever it is. and that's if the doctors are pushing these different things because it's a business, but then they won't do it themselves. That's kind of
a two-pronged attack. Yes,
it kind of makes you think twice about what you're taking there.
I gotcha. Well, so for me, there's two issues here. Let me ask you first, Adam.
Okay.
If you found out you're how old?
30.
30 years old. Prime of your life.
Damn.
30 years old. And if you found out that you had a disease that was curable, so let's just say it's cancer. It's curable, but it's going to be a tough process. Maybe a year of chemotherapy. But it has a very high success rate of being cured, and you can probably live an extra 30 years, whereas if you don't take any medication, maybe 3, just hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it?
I would. I mean, I think it feels a very high probability of a much longer life.
Mm-hmm.
If it's one of those things where, if the probability is much lower, if we do all this, and most likely they'll give you an extra 6 months,
mm-hmm.
no.
Yeah, okay.
So.
And the equation for me changes, and I think this is something that kind of counterbalances what I said about the doctors is, as you know, somebody who's in their 20s, I feel like I have a whole lot of life to gain in front of me. But if I was in my 50s, 60s, 70s, I might have a much different opinion and say, I've
yes.
raised my children, I've had a
yes.
family, I've had most of or a full successful career. Maybe that's it. Maybe I don't want to gain 5 years at
yeah.
the expense of 3 horrible ones.
Yes. I feel too on this, the whole, the popping the pills thing. Like I said, one of the side effects is it's created a culture of pill takers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have a big problem with that. Yes.
I feel it's closed our minds to other possibilities. And I don't want to just jump on this and say this is always going to be fixing, but, I watched a documentary a while back about juicing.
Okay. Juicing as in like steroids?
No.
Or like juicing apples?
Yeah, it's cool. Juicing apples.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess I should make that distinction. I wish I remembered all of the extreme specifics. Anyway, so I was watching it. It was on Netflix. It was a documentary about a guy had some very rare disease, was popping 10, 15 pills a day at least, just to, stay alive or keep things under control. He decided to do nothing but juice, vegetables, fruits. I think it was 60 days.
Okay.
And cured him. Doesn't take the pills anymore. Lost a ton of weight. Doesn't take a pill ever again.
See, but on the other hand, that's what killed Steve Jobs, basically.
Yeah.
He had a really curable form of cancer, and he was like, no way, all I eat is fruit.
Yes. Yeah, and so I'm not saying by any means is that the way to go, but I do feel that we just instantly go towards the pills.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly, we don't think about anything else. We have severely overweight, severely unhealthy people trying to solve their problem with pills.
Yeah, they're just covering the symptoms.
There could be a lot of other issues.
I do agree with that. So there's part of what you said that I agree with and part that I disagree with. Part of it is, there is a lot of money, a lot of science, a lot of research that goes into medications and pharmaceuticals. And it is obviously a very regulated industry. We can talk about what that means. But something that... the lifestyle drug, when you say that, I think of people that regularly take an Advil or regularly take a Tylenol every morning. And I'm thinking, you're really just addressing a symptom. So on top of the gain, like I talked about with if I'm dying, it can cure me and I'll live an extra 30 years, likely to take it. But if I'm going to live an extra 6 months, probably not.
Yeah.
The other thing is severity. As an adult, as somebody who's over 10 or 11 years old, what a flu feels like. You know what a cold feels like. You don't need to take something for that, in my opinion. And so my wife will get angry at me because I refuse to take anything unless I'm really sick and need it.
So if you're in the flu or you're in a cold, or say you have a cold and you have a high fever, you won't take an ibuprofen or a fever reducer to try and knock that down?
I resist drugs as much as possible. And you know what? I'm perfectly healthy.
And is that,
I just
and is,
feel...
And is that for the reason of not wanting to more or less become addicted to it? Or because I have a good friend who doesn't take drugs or doesn't do those as much as possible to try to make sure he does not become more or less immune to them. So when it is really needed.
That's definitely part of it. I don't want to have that dependence. I don't want to have that, softened edge to where it's not effective when I do need it.
Yeah.
And also, if it's not something that's terminal, you know, if I have my arm cut off, I'm going to take an Advil and I'm going to go to the hospital.
Yes.
But if it's something that I can defeat my body using my mind, I like that challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to say I can make myself healthy faster with, you know, just good health practices, with positive thinking, and it really does work. Would it cure cancer? No.
No. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because it kind of leads into, you know, are pharmaceuticals worth it? In a way that are they needed? And then you kind of get into the whole placebo effect and some of the studies have been done on that. And,
sure.
And how, and I read a lot of that on today, and it's kind of back and forth. There's a lot of talk about how there isn't a placebo effect, and some of the studies that have been
done
are kind of jankety, and there probably are. But I do agree with you that your mental state.
Yeah, exactly.
You can literally make yourself sick by thinking about it.
Right. If I can pop a sugar pill and feel better, yeah. I can make myself feel better if I'm determined enough. And again, I'm so to present my opinion on the whole debate, are pharmaceuticals worth the cost? Yes, if it's severe enough and the gain in life.
Severe, life-threatening.
Yes, exactly.
So if... I don't even know if we want to go into the... I'm trying to think of a lifestyle drug besides Advil. I mean, you know, so as a male, should we go there?
Sure.
You still got half your life ahead of you, and you have lost the ability to have a portion of your life with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go there with the pharmaceuticals or not? That's not life-threatening. It's just a drain on the marriage, possibly.
Yeah, see, I think the first place I would go to would be what's actually causing that. And it may be something medical, fine. I think more likely you'll find that if you are a healthy person, if you exercise and eat right, if you, you know, keep your mind in proper places, I'll just say that, then you're going to be more likely to be healthy in those other areas. I think that there's a cascading effect. And so when you said that a lot of people in America are obese, they have poor health practices, I think that's what is causing a lot of this.
Yeah.
And we're treating the symptom, not the cause.
Yes,
that's what I
agree.
I have
and
against.
And that's what a number of them that I read is that that's what they are doing, is they are just treating, just making you feel better temporarily. I want to jump back real quick. You mentioned how it's a very regulated thing in our country. I read a lot of stuff that compared to other countries, our pharmaceutical companies go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're one of the only countries that allow that do not control prices of pharmaceutical drugs, since our companies are just charged, some of them for certain drugs are just insanely expensive.
Mm-hmm. They're expensive to research too.
That is true. We're only one of the only companies that allows so much blatant advertising.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. And some of those kind of things. So I feel our country is very different in our view of drugs, the pharmaceutical drugs, in that sense, because we just blindly accept them because it's just everywhere. The media pushes them.
We're comfortable with the brand, you know, mm-hmm. Pfizer, like we are with Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
Yeah.
Again, I think there's so many things that this could cover, but for me, I guess the ultimate question: would I take them? Again, yes, if it's a severe enough consequence. If I don't, if I can't, you know, conquer my body with my mind. And if the gains from taking it far outweigh the cost.
Yeah, I agree. I think the same for me. Are they worth the risk? Only if the risk is big enough to begin with.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
For me, because I feel there's too much risk, especially for certain people, and that's including me, of becoming reliant on it, becoming used to it.
Sure.
It's just, you know, there's just a lot of levels that start. So.
Yep. Well, I think we'll probably revisit this topic in another facet sometime later on.
Yeah.
But for now, let's move on.
There are very
on.
Many levels of it. All right.
How it makes me choke. How the hell am I gonna find happiness and peace of mind?
All right, segment.
It's whatever.
segment section two, episode five, September 23rd, 5:58 p.m. All right. This is a near the fringe for us.
And again, Adam, like you, it's pretty fringy.
It's pretty fringy. I feel like I am definitely on the fringe on this one because of where it's coming from. This one is about should we be keeping sports in schools?
So is anybody other than you really asking this? I feel like high school sports are, you know, college sports are kind of a given.
They are a given, and that's one of the biggest issues I feel we have in the education system is not broken, don't fix it kind of thing. This is how it's always been, so let's just keep going that way.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons I think everybody thinks our education system is doing so bad, because what have we seriously changed in the last 70 years? We have iPads in the classroom. Anyways.
Okay.
Some people are talking about it, but I think it is the problem is when you talk about it, those sports parents go nutso. And
Well, it is fun. Did you play sports in high school? Or?
We'll get into that.
Okay. Maybe this is just a personal vendetta.
I tried, and I was kicked off. No, but and we are talking all levels. What I mean by that is junior high school, college. And so, and my opinion on that kind of does differ a little bit between two of the levels on whether or not we should have it. I think the difference between high school and college is some notable differences between
okay.
there.
Okay.
let's start out with the good things that sports do for our schools. The most obvious ones, the biggest ones that I kept seeing brought up time and time again. One of the biggest ones was keep kids in school.
Okay.
They claim that lots and lots of kids would drop out if they didn't have sports keeping them there.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little bit of research. The number I found was that approximately 55% of students, high school students, play sports.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is that's 50%. Now, do I believe, are we allowed to get into debating those points of goodness? Or should we just say the good things that they think that have to do with it and then come back to it later?
I think we should do the good and then come back and loop back around.
So keeping kids in school. There are going to be kids who won't come unless they get sports is their deal.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is the community aspect of it. And I really do completely agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
There are not many memories I have. Or no, I won't say that. But there are some of the best memories I have of school are, you know, your Friday night football game.
Yeah, exactly.
And or those times I did play sports, soccer mainly, some cross country. But those trips with the soccer team and that community that brought out and then you know, seeing that crowd cheering for you and just all of that was something. And I was a pep band nerd. I played the trumpet, and so I played it in freshman. As a freshman in high school, I was in the pep band, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was even in sophomore, maybe junior. I loved it. It was awesome. The atmosphere, the feeling. And I went to – I'm a alumni of Wichita State University.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to mention that.
There's not much that beats that community spirit of being in Coke Arena during one of those basketball games. It is
– Well, and think of how much just to be frank about it, revenue was generated from T-shirts and all that stuff when they had the Final Four
run.
Yes,
that is true. And we'll get into revenue a little bit later. But that's – I feel awesome. I feel a lot of people are going to definitely see me leaning one way towards this. And I do kind of have an opinion on it. But I would find it hard to give up those things, that community that creates.
Okay.
What else is good about sports?
Well, I don't know, Adam. What do you have against it?
Well, I have a few more that I read that they claim helps with it. A lot of it said about it gives kids the ability to learn to work together as a team. Mm-hmm. It gives them the ability to work through life situations and how to deal with different people. And just the most obvious thing,
exercise, right?
Exercise makes them healthier, on and on, et cetera. Possible scholarships for college, and et cetera.
Okay. I'm ready, Adam. Everyone's ready.
Why should we not?
I'm just so curious.
Why should we not? It is... why should we not? Well, what is the point of education?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? I guess it's to prepare you to make an impact in the world.
Okay, and so you kind of have to ask yourself, should we be focusing more on education and not on sports. I mean, I have a number of article here, one written by a athletic director, and he states that if, you know, so we want to focus on education, and the problem is if he took out sports, we would not be focusing on education. We'd be focusing on keeping students in school. And I question, would that many kids drop out if you lost sports? Now, would some of them? Possibly. But I guess some of this comes to revenue, too. Because our sports making us money. In high school, I don't think they are. You got your football. Football, I think, and football always comes up as the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Football is
it's the most popular in America. Yeah. Yes,
and it is amazing. I think football does make up for the most part its own revenue. It covers itself with ticket sales and things like that. And I'm kind of in high school right now. But does tennis, or bowling, or swimming, or track, or cross country, soccer, what I've read, even basketball doesn't. So does football make enough money to cover all the other sports? And it doesn't. So where does the money come from to pay for all those sports? Federal aid, or, you know, the student fees and
so
where
that's...
is that money? I can't actually answer that for you completely, because I'm not allowed into our district's financial situation, so I couldn't actually tell you where that money comes from. But I know,
so some of it may be from boosters, from parents.
It could be,
but some of it may be, you know, allocations for those sports from state, federal budget, whatever.
Yes. From what I read on the college level is that there is a very, very small amount of schools that actually profit from college sports.
Okay.
Again, football is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are your top football schools that, you know, win bowls and some of those kind of things. A bowl is a game, right?
I'm not much into college football.
And make some serious money. But from what I read, there's like 10 in the country that actually profited.
Yes, I've seen that too. It's strikingly low.
Yes, and the rest of them are getting their money. Yes, some of it comes from boosters and things like that, but the rest of them they get a lot from student fees. I mean, I'm paying to go to college, and part of my money is going towards the sports program. A lot of subsidies, including government subsidies for different things. So one of the bad things to me is some of that money that should be going to education in sports.
Okay.
You know, I haven't gotten a raise for 2 years.
That's what this is about.
We have no chance right now of getting, you know, one-on-one computers in the classroom, let alone the computers we have are slow, because they're not Apple.
Mm, I'm sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, and then, you know, I just kind of questioned, because our football team went to some town in the middle of Missouri for a game.
Mm-hmm.
And you calculate the cost of that. It's just, I'm not saying it is for sure a complete drain on our system. I don't know where all the money comes from. I just think it should be asked.
Okay, that's fair enough. You know, well, that's what we're all about, is asking those questions.
I'm not 100%, you know, it's draining us and it's costing me my raise.
Sure.
I don't necessarily believe that. I'm just saying we never ask.
See, so when I think, and maybe it comes down to some personal experience, because I had great experiences in sports.
I did too.
Middle school, high school.
Yep.
a lot of fun, a lot of lessons learned that were positive, some that were negative that I still learned from. And I guess so we've established pretty well, at least based on your research, that they're not self-sustaining, not paying for themselves.
No.
But then again, education on its own isn't. So it's a matter of what we want to prioritize and pay for.
Well, and that was some really good points I found on the discussion of the college sports is, do they pay for themselves? No.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people might go to a college because of the sports team. Even if they're not going to play on it, they want to be a part of that community.
I see. So there may be indirect gains that are not really calculated. They'd be too difficult to calculate.
The profits of the football team don't include how many kids they're drawing into it, because they want to be a part of that community.
But if you see a 10% rise in tuitions because of that, then that obviously contributes to that
gain.
Okay.
So there is a lot to it, and I'm not good with numbers.
That seems very difficult to quantify.
I wish
anyway.
I knew somebody that was good with numbers, but I don't.
Me too.
So, so Travis is good with numbers. But it was, I did a lot of reading, and some of it just got way beyond my head. So I don't think this isn't a super That's not a super easy question to answer.
But you're asking the questions, and that's fair. Yeah. Did it say anything in there about injuries?
I didn't read much about injuries.
Okay. I also, and this is just personal experience, mm-hmm. but I also had a friend who was very talented at basketball, played at the college level, and basically got enough concussions that he's having not having trouble. He's fine, but definitely not able to operate at capacity if he hadn't had those injuries.
Yep.
And you have to wonder, a lot of sports are pretty aggressive, full of contact.
Yeah.
You see injuries all the time, even in high levels of play with elite athletes, and maybe those injuries are having a cost as well that we're not accounting for.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about the injury aspect of it. Another, I don't know if I want to call it bad reason, but let me give you an analogy here. Well, there's lots of times in my classroom I tell my kids, you know, get out and do something, stop playing video games. I don't say video games are bad because I don't necessarily believe that. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I have a lot of students who do nothing but video games.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell them, do something else. You know, video games aren't really good for you. I guess that's debatable. Their first reaction to that is, yeah, but there's educational video games. And then I asked them, how many of those do you own? None. How many times do you play educational video games? None. So, you know, I say, well, they're not good for you, but there's educational ones, but they don't ever use them. And so that's kind of one of the things that I ran into here. A lot of the things that people talked about that are good about sports, I kind of question how often those things are done. I talked a lot about, you know, your coaches teaching you just true life lessons, mm-hmm. and, you know, really teaching you team spirit and
community. My high school
soccer
coach had us learn the 5 principles of Calvinism.
Wow.
And we debated them.
But I think that's rare.
Yes.
You know, from my experience, my coach was great. I don't remember any great life lessons or deep theology within my soccer, but I also remember a lot of coaches that we ran into on all their fields, and there's no way that coach was doing anything, but he was just yelling at them. He wasn't teaching them life lessons. You know, they lost, and so they sat down, discussed, you know, sometimes life is hard and sometimes you lose. No, he yelled at them.
Uh-huh.
And so I understand that's kind of what the feeling I got. That they gave lots of reasons that it's good for it, but how often do those things happen?
I see.
And again, that's hard to quantify. That's hard to really pinpoint. But I kind of question, like I said, a lot of the reasons I don't see them happening that often.
Gotcha. Well, one thing I will agree that's kind of negative is I think we have an overly hero worship culture. And when kids are brought up and their hero is LeBron James, is that really a great life hero? Yeah, he's a fantastic basketball player.
Yes.
But for 99.9% of kids – and 100% under 6 feet tall, that's not really an achievable life goal. And so is it distracting from other things that they could be focusing on? I think basketball, baseball, soccer, football, whatever, are definitely good things to be involved in. I had great experiences. Yes. I think they do make you healthy and give you that team experience and that community experience. But there are bad side effects, and I won't argue that.
Yes, and I, you know, that's an interesting point that you brought up. I'm going to read you a quote from an article that I read. And this lady was quoted as to why they're good. And this kind of hits exactly what you said. She says, I believe that athletics is the greatest dropout prevention program we have. I think of the most identifiable people on a school campus. So she's saying, think about the people you know most when you walk into a high school campus.
Mm-hmm.
The head football coach, the principal, and the quarterback.
Yep.
And then she says, what does that say about school? And she's trying to make the point that, look at that. Those are the people that we recognize the most. That's why athletics are important, because look at the impact. I hear that and I say, that's terrible that the people we know most are our head football coach and our quarterback. Are those the role models we should be looking up to when we have valedictorians? And I'm not saying, you know, sometimes the quarterback are those people.
Sure.
But and sometimes it happens. But you have some incredible kids out there that don't have any idea how to throw a football. And they won't ever get looked at as
important.
The level
of recognition. Yeah, I agree with that. Even at the professional level.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of funny. I'll post this in the show notes because I think it's really interesting. But there's a comparison online. There's a meme about Michael Jordan and how much he makes.
Yes, you brought up a meme.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't me this time.
It's an infographic, if you can call that.
Oh, come on.
So it's talking about how much Michael Jordan makes. And it's a ton of money. It's like $40 million a year in endorsements. He doesn't have to do anything. He can sleep and make $40 million a year. essentially. And so it's going through and it's telling, you know, Michael Jordan could, if he were to contribute up to the maximum federal limit for his 401k, it'd take him until like 8 o'clock January 1st to fill it up. And just all these ridiculous things. Like he'll go to a $20 movie and he'll make $18,000 while he's there. Just crazy stuff. And then at the very end it says, but if Michael Jordan were to save his entire annual salary for 450 years, he still wouldn't have as much as Bill Gates have today.
Oh, gosh.
In the end, nerds win. Nice. And it's a silly way to approach it, but realistically, cultural, and we've talked about this in the past, cultural, scientific, technological progress, in my experience, and this is, I'm an engineer, but in my experience, after high school, after college, after the sports plays out, nerds really do win.
Well, and that's funny. That's, man, we're so good at this. That's one of the exact points that I found in all this. And, you know, we, in high school and in college, we just put these athletes up on such a high pedestal. But I read, guess what percentage of high school athletes become professional?
Oh, man.
I'm putting you on the spot.
It probably 1 in 1,000.
All I have is a percent.
I can convert it.
0.03.
Okay, I'm pretty darn close.
So you think of how much emphasis we put on it, and once they're out of college, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
For and almost everybody.
And only the top of those people are the ones that we worship that really make a ton of money.
And so I think there's just, and this comes down to other countries too. I feel there's too much emphasis on it. Too much emphasis on sports. You look at other countries. Let me ask you this. Is America doing good on math and scientific tests worldwide?
No.
We're doing terrible. And you look at the countries that are the best, and they don't have sports programs in schools.
Interesting. So there is actually kind of a control group for this then.
Yes, that we can absolutely. And so, again, I'm not on the side of just saying, get rid of them. Let's be like Switzerland and just not do it. I think Switzerland was one of them. I don't remember.
Fair enough.
But on the same token, I can't imagine not having some of those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it needs to be asked, is there a different, slightly different way? Obviously, the different ways are club teams. Mm-hmm. If you get rid of it in schools, so it's all going
to
be club teams.
The parents or the kids can then choose to play outside of school.
And then you just have all, and the uproar about that is it's expensive. You know, lower income aren't going to be able to play it, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. It's going to just become for people who can afford it. So, but again, should we be basing our whole educational system off of the possibility that a 14-year-old won't be able to play basketball if it's not in school? Or should we be focusing
when the real big-time success stories are so few and far between?
Yeah.
And that's not to say that Bill Gates isn't an anomaly himself.
Yes,
that
is true.
But I do think that by and large, science, technology, engineering, math, the STEM are what really does well for people, you know, regular middle class people when they're through college.
All right, one more little just kind of blurb here, and I guess we can kind of wrap it up. one of the things I was kind of looking at that made some good points was, you know, you got like you have football practice at the beginning of the year, and before school starts, you have a couple weeks of 2-hour long practices before school starts, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that's a perfectly acceptable thing. How do you think people would feel if a math teacher sent home a letter and said, you know what, twice a day we're going to have an hour long trigonometry practice before school starts?
Uh-huh.
How would that go over?
Yeah.
Not well. And then I understand that's an interest thing, and it's not fun. But again, it's just kind of an interesting thing to think about. I also read another little blurb about a very high-end, wealthy school that was giving tours to parents. And the parents were just asking questions. And they asked, well, you know, how is your math program? And they said, well, you know, we're doing all right, but, you know, that's one of our lowest areas in testing right now, so we're working on it. And the parents were okay. And they said, and how's the sports program? And they said, the football team is struggling. And all the parents were very concerned.
Uh-huh.
Again, shows where our minds are. But then you also, on the same token, you think about, let's say, you think about the elite schools in America, colleges. You think about Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
You ever think sports?
Mm-hmm.
No.
You make fun of Harvard sports.
Yeah, exactly.
But then those guys are your boss.
Those guys are the ones that... And so should we not kind of be thinking about that? You know, let's take me and you, okay? I went to Harvard. I'm making an example, so I'm going to Harvard. I went to Harvard, and we're both going for the same engineering job, and you went to Wichita State.
Mm-hmm.
And we're interviewing. The boss looks at you and says, Wichita State, huh? It's a decent program, but... man, that basketball run last year was amazing. Looks to me, doesn't know anything about the basketball, but says Harvard, here's the job.
Yeah.
And so shouldn't that show us something that maybe some of our focus, I don't know.
Yeah, no, okay, so when you started this, I'm going, get rid of sports. Well, I think they're, by and large, a good thing. But coming to the end of it, you've made some good points, Adam. And I would say you're correct. I'm absolutely not going to say sports should be removed. I think they're a great thing for health and for a lot of other reasons, community, leadership experience, all that stuff. But you are right that, you know, what we prioritize as a culture is off, in my opinion. We're not really placing the importance on the important things.
Yeah, and that's what I said at the beginning. You know, based off of that, do you think I think we should get rid of sports?
No.
I don't. And like I said, you know, I read some things about how, you know, some of the top, you know, just the top countries in math, they don't have sports. And if those kids want to play sports, they go out and they get together afterwards and go play in the alley or something. That's why we're America. Because we've learned to also, you know, focus on some things that are fun and entertaining, and just, we have different avenues. And I don't want to get rid of that. I don't want to make ourselves a different country, because I would bet a lot of those countries, although higher in math, wish they were us in a certain way.
Yeah, they may lack creativity or a team culture. Yeah, absolutely.
I do not think we should get rid of sports. I simply think we should possibly seriously question how we do it, where the funding goes, if we can do it differently, if we can... Maybe yes, we have a homecoming for football. Maybe just once we throw up the debate winners and say, hey, good job in front of school.
Yep. Okay.
Just shift some focus.
Fair enough. I would agree with that. Let's give it a try.
Okay.
We'll have our first SPI debate homecoming.
Dude, we should sponsor that. Go to local schools and have a SPI sponsored.
Yeah, debate-a-thon.
Smart kid
for
praise.
Oh, man. Well, you'll be hearing more about that in the future.
We'll make some parades and stuff. Nobody will care, but we'll make some of his kids feel special.
We're helping you debate, kids. We're coming for you.
Yes.
That's college football game day.
Well, this is our What's News segment, where we talk about things that are more interesting than newsworthy. But, I mean, what is news, you know?
Just interesting things.
That's right. Or depressing things. But we're going to play it differently.
I want to start us off real quick.
Please do.
Super quick. These, before we get into our serious articles.
Oh, okay.
I saw a news article this week about a car accident with four teenagers. Did you hear about this?
That's pretty serious.
It was at like 5:30 in the morning. It was in an old Bronco, rolled over. Didn't kill anybody, but threw everybody out of the car.
Okay.
Guess why they wrecked. The driver set the passenger's armpit hair on fire.
Hmm. How?
And that's news.
I'm with you. I thought there was going to be a really terrible joke about like Broncos bucking people off in there.
No, armpit hair.
Just armpit hair on fire, huh?
Yeah.
Did they use any sort of like lighter fluid?
It really didn't get into it more.
Hair just that flammable?
I guess. We could try it.
This is going to be an experiment. We'll get back with you next time.
Next time, SBI experiments. All right, do you want to start with real ones or not?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do my first real one. This is very critical, vital, geopolitical news.
All right, sweet.
On September 13th, 2014, Nintendo turned 125 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They started out in 1989 as a playing card company, and then they kind of did some toys in the 1960s, and then in the 70s they started with their first video games. And actually, the first thing they did wasn't their own system. They got the rights to distribute the Magnavox Odyssey system in Japan. And then in 1977, they had the Color TV game console, which is a really catchy name. And then in 1979, they had their first mobile system, the Game & Watch. And
I haven't heard of any of these.
And the rest is history.
What do they have right now, Nintendo?
Yeah, they have the Wii U.
Okay, the Wii, yeah.
And the 3DS is their mobile
So they're
one.
Still out there.
Oh, yeah, I love Nintendo.
We're gonna finish this up quick because literally, I mean, we'll leave the studio out the door. I have right now hooked up to the TV an NES, a Super NES, and a 64. Mm. Ready to go.
Excellent.
Right now.
Excellent.
And the best game on NES? Bible Adventures. No, it's not the best game.
I do
actually have it, but it's... No, but yeah, we'll game it all night.
Oh, sweet.
We'll go Mario Kart.
I skipped the 64 and the GameCube, but I think I have all the rest or had all the rest. So.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Nintendo.
Yeah, that's nice.
You're great.
Send something to us for mentioning it.
Yeah, anytime.
All right. Well, I'll give you one. I find myself frustrated with a lot of these in general. I found a science article this week, and it was its title is "Chimps Are Naturally Violent."
Okay.
And I looked at that and I just thought, did we think they weren't? I always find it interesting how many studies we do, big, expensive studies on things that I had assumed was natural knowledge.
That's a given, right?
You know, from reading it, they had talked about how they had thought that maybe some of the anger issues and the killing, you know, there's murders and killings and different stuff within these apes or chimps habitats was a result of somehow them imitating humans.
Okay.
And so this study was basically saying they think they've decided that that's just natural.
Good money spent.
Which, I don't know. It just struck me as I read the article. I read the title and I was just like, really? I could have told you that I had assumed apes were naturally violent because that's how animals are.
Yeah, and see, this goes back to that distrust of science. There are studies that get popularized, and yes. You're like, oh, we could have gone to the moon again.
and hung out there. We could have sent chimpanzees
send
to the
some
moon.
Chimps to Mars. Why
that
not?
That would curb their aggression.
The next article I have is about Google Fiber. If you haven't heard about fiber, where have you been? How can you proclaim yourself to be an intellectual? Google is actually trying to get into the internet service provider
business. I'm waiting for iFiber.
You're such a jerk, Adam. This is not going to die until we have a segment dedicated to my distaste for Apple.
Oh, sorry.
Google Fiber is obviously a fiber internet connection. It's extremely fast, way, way, way faster even than direct cable or DSL. And it's, a lot of people are clamoring for it, but they're opening it up only in select cities, locations. The first one was Kansas City.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought there was one.
And here in Wichita, we were hoping just extend that fiber line a little bit down. We're the next, major city south in the different state.
No.
We were hoping for it. But this article is just saying that Google Fiber got a new executive who's in charge of it. The new executive is Dennis Kish, a former bigwig with Qualcomm, apparently. Is now heading up the fiber department of Google. So hopefully we'll see some more expansion.
I don't know a lot about Google Fiber. I mean, besides Google's going to rule the world and it's going to be amazing. But the thing I, just off the top of my head, first thing I think about is props to them to not dumping it out, not ready.
Yeah, that is a good point. And I think realistically that's probably why they've been very strategic about
that. And that's great. I have respect for a company that doesn't push it out for profits and wants to do something right.
Google does a ton of those things where they just throw it at the wall and see what sticks and they run with that. So, they have enough money to do it.
Yeah. Really?
So.
Just a little bit.
Yep. But here's hoping, Google.
Yeah.
If you're supporters of self-proclaimed intellectuals, we'll gladly take fiber lines in Wichita, Kansas.
Yes. All right. Well, I'll go one more. All right. And I think you got one more and then we'll be done with our epically long podcast. There's a lot of controversy right now in the NFL about the abuse.
Uh-huh.
I found an article titled, "Could Brain Injuries Be Behind the NFL Rap Sheet?"
Oh, interesting. And that kind of ties in with earlier, huh?
And what, again, I'm very cynical. And I read this and I thought, I hope we're not trying to find excuses for this.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first place in my mind with this. And I read over it. And they're not saying it is. They're just kind of bringing it up and discussing it. And they discuss about, how it's been shown sometimes that brain injuries can cause anger.
Mm-hmm.
The last line of the article does say, if concussions caused severe anger, everybody would be hitting everybody almost all the time. Because a lot of people have had concussions. So they're kind of saying they don't necessarily completely buy into it. But again, my biggest fear after reading this article is that some NFL player does something, or anybody does something, and they go to court with it, and they say, you know, and what, it's not their fault because of their their occupation has caused imbalance in them, and it is not their fault, and they get away with it.
Yep, I agree with that.
And
entirely.
So that's, I know, and that kind of ties into my other one. I'm just cynical of, you know, apes. We're spending money on that, and well, I could have guessed it. And really, I mean, football has brain injuries, and that can cause problems. Yeah. But it's not an excuse. And maybe that gets into its own segment sometime of personal responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you might have some injuries, but that's not an excuse.
Right. Agreed. But hey, at least we'll be able to play our Nintendos on our Google Fiber lines, and things will get better.
If I could hook up the 64 to the Google Fiber, life would be complete.
There you go.
I don't know what it would really do for me. Maybe give me 65 bits.
Perfect.
All right, you got one more?
Nah, I'm done, man.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to make up some news then.
Go for it.
This just in. Self-proclaimed intellectuals, longest podcast recorded ever.
All right.
Coming to a close.
Congratulations. Yes. So the usual spiel. Thank you for listening in. We'll be back next 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now.
In the next 2 weeks.
When you're listening to this. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, angry letters, compliments, take compliments.
Yeah.
Email them in to podcast@travislane.com, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye. Come on.